In the name of Jesus, amen. When it comes to religion, people want signs and wonders. And given the choice between grace and mercy and works, people want works. In other words, people want proof, and they want something they can do that will get them to wherever they are going in the hereafter. That's why people like Moses. He came doing wonders. Good ones. Ones you couldn't miss. The 10 plagues. The Passover. The crossing of the Red Sea and more. And it was during the time of Moses that manna fell from heaven, feeding the people of Israel for years. Those were amazing wonders. And people like wonders. Moses came with works too. A whole list of things that the people had to do. After 40 days on Mount Sinai, Moses came into the camp with the Ten Commandments. And if you read Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, a lot more law besides. And the people liked the works. Or at least they said they did. Scripture says Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the works that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Moses was a hero people could get a handle on. A man who brought bread from heaven and told them how to live. And as the people continued to remember Moses and honor his memory, they also remembered that Moses had said that a prophet like himself would come one day. Not only like him, but even greater than he is. Of course, the people didn't quite get the story of Moses right. It wasn't Moses who brought manna from heaven. God did that. And it wasn't Moses who came up with the Ten Commandments. Moses simply repeated them to the people. But it's always easier to put your trust in what you can see than what you can't see. And they could see Moses. Now, time warp. 1,500 years to today's gospel lesson. Jesus has left the multitudes and sailed across the Sea of Galilee. Actually, he started off walking, didn't he? But then he finally did get into the boat. The crowds followed him. With good reason. I mean, he just fed 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Why, that sounds like Moses. This man does wonders with bread. Maybe Jesus is the prophet Moses said would come. So the people tracked him down on the other side of the lake. They track him down because if he is the prophet, then he'll do what Moses did. He'll feed them miraculously every day for the rest of their lives and tell them what to do. But when the people find Jesus, he doesn't exactly sound like he's happy to see them. "Truly, truly, verily, verily, amen, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal." Jesus is different than the stories they remembered of Moses. Moses gave them food and then told them what to do. Jesus tells them, "Forget about the bread and fish. I'm not here to be your meal ticket. Look for food that offers eternal life instead." And while he was telling them this, he also told them that he was the Son of Man. And that he'd come with God the Father's seal of approval to give them bread that gives everlasting life. Okay, so Jesus is about everlasting bread, not daily bread. So they'd still have to worry about their groceries. But still, he might be the second Moses, in which case he might give them more commandments, like Moses did, and tell them what to do. So they ask, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" In other words, what commandments should we obey in order to get this bread of eternal life? And this was Jesus' chance. Jesus could have said, I want you to make a large pledge to my organization. I want you to dedicate your firstborns to me. I want you to sign over the deed to your house. As long as you're not upside down in your mortgage, you must understand. What a chance Jesus had to make himself rich. But Jesus' response isn't what they were expecting. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's it. The work of God is that he works faith in you to believe in Jesus. What a strange message. It went against everything they naturally believed. I mean, you've been watching the Olympics. To get something good, you have to work hard for it. We know that. And to get something eternally good, you must have to work extra hard for it. And yet Jesus says that all they have to do is this. Believe. Believe in the one the Father has sent. It can't be that easy, can it? Well, yes and no. Believing isn't easy. Believing that Jesus is the one on whom the Father has set his seal isn't easy. Believing that the forgiveness of sins is even possible and that it should be sought only in Jesus, believing that isn't easy. It's downright impossible. And that's why God has to work faith in each and every one of us. It's the work of God, not our work. But the crowd couldn't accept that. There's got to be hard work involved. So they pressed Jesus a little bit harder. What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert. As is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Why should we believe you, Jesus? We followed Moses because of the wonders he did. Manna from heaven, water from rocks. Why should we switch from Moses to you? Well, let me tell you, Jesus says. It wasn't Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. First, Jesus makes it clear. It wasn't Moses who brought manna down from heaven. It was God. And God hasn't stopped giving. The daily bread that we eat every day comes from his hand, and he gives even greater bread than this. And the people enthusiastically respond, Lord, give us this bread always, this greater bread. And with that, Jesus has the crowd right where he wants them. Jesus responds, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. That's even better than what Moses had to offer. Moses had said, do these things and you'll get bread. Jesus says something way better, believe in me and you'll live forever. Moses was a great man, but he couldn't keep anyone from dying. To make it so that someone can live forever would take a prophet even greater than Moses. Well, Jesus is the great prophet Moses said was coming. Jesus is sent from God the Father to save us. And he did all the work required for the salvation of the whole world. He did all that Moses commanded and more. He took upon himself the sins of the whole world. He took upon himself your sins and mine. And he suffered God's fierce and righteous judgment on the cross for those sins. The cross. That's where the bread of life is baked. Right there. In the fiery furnace of God's wrath against our sin, and in the burning heat of his passion to save his fallen creation, including you and me. And when he breathed his last, at that point there was no more work to be done to pay for the sins of the world, because Jesus had paid it all. And that's why Jesus simply tells the people to believe in him, to trust what he's doing for their benefit, because he has eternal life to give. And what will be the sign that the work is done? The bread of life hanging on the tree of the cross for the life of the world, Jesus' death and resurrection. But instead of believing in the greatest sign God can give, his son nailed to the cross, people want Jesus to do works and wonders of their own choosing. People want proof that God is at work here and now. We know all about the cross on all of that, but proof must be something that we can see, something we can experience. If someone can heal the sick, that's proof. If the numbers of members are growing tremendously in a church, that must be God at work. If the message of the pastor leaves someone feeling peaceful or energized, that must be a godly message. Those are among the signs people want. And it's so easy to let the cross get drowned out. Not the cross and the shed blood and the water-drenched word drowning our sin, but signs of our own choosing. Someone healed, prayers answered our way, and on and so forth. The question to ask is this. These may be the signs that people want, but what are the signs God promises? Where does God declare that a sign of a good preacher is that he heals the sick? Where does the Lord of the little flock equate numbers with success? Where does the Lord of the law and gospel say that his message is meant for emotional peace and energy? Those might be the signs people want, but they're not the signs God promises. And people want works too. Religion makes sense when it involves working your way to heaven. Working is the way of the world. And so it only makes sense that if you want the treasures of heaven, then you have to work even harder. Every religion in the world except Christianity believes that. Every religion in the world save Christianity is a religion of works. They might require you to blow yourself up or pay a great deal of money in order to get to the next level. The works might require you to do something physical or something mental, but they're all things you have to do in order to be saved. Any religion that tells you you must rely on yourself cannot save you. And any religion, any sermon in any Christian church for that matter, that points you to something other than the shed blood of Jesus as a sign of your salvation leads to despair. And that's why I preach to you Jesus Christ, the bread of life. God sent manna to the Israelites every day for 40 years. Remarkable indeed, but it was only to point to a greater miracle. God sending his son to earth, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus performed miracles. He healed many. He raised people from the dead. He fed thousands with the loaves and fishes. But this too was only to point to the greater miracle. Jesus, by his death and resurrection, forgiving you your sins. And he has finished the work, and all who believe in him will be saved. So here are the signs and works of God for you. First, the works. Jesus has done them all. He led a perfect life for you. And he has died on Calvary's cross to forgive you. It's God's work that he's done for you. Those are the works. And these are the signs. One is holy baptism, where the Lord washes you in word-drenched water for your salvation. Are you baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? If so, then you have God's guarantee that He has forgiven you your sins and made you His own. Baptism may not be the kind of sign the world likes to see, but it's the sign that God gives. And it's even more than a sign because it doesn't just point to forgiveness, it actually gives the forgiveness of Jesus to you. And the Lord gives you yet another sign, His very body and blood, the same body and blood shed on Calvary's cross, the living bread from heaven. He gives you His body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. He doesn't ask you to somehow ascend to heaven in order to meet Him. No, He comes to you. And not with just symbols of Christ's forgiveness, but in, with, and under the bread and wine are His body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Why so much forgiveness? Well, heavens, if you could look at my life, you would understand why so much forgiveness. Those are wonderful signs. They appear quite ordinary and plain and very earthy, but they are signs sent from God. Do you need a sign? Then look no further than the work of Jesus. He is the living bread sent from heaven by God the Father. He's the one who lived for you, who died for you. He's the one who has conquered the grave and rose from the dead so that you might rise from the dead. He's the one who has given you salvation today by His word and sacraments. He's the one who declares to you today, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst, because you are forgiven for all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.